Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver, unless I'm fasting for 36 hours. Because that resets your whole, like, everything. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Like and subscribe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Cassie and Kid Cudi just hit Diddy with days of shocking testimony. So how is he still winning this case?
Prosecutors claiming the defense dragging it out, trying to force a mistrial. The hip-hop mogul has firmly denied all allegations.
The whole world is keeping a close eye on Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking trial. Prosecutors have brought out an army of witnesses to testify against Diddy, from his former employees to Kid Cudi himself. But the most important witness of all is Cassie Ventura, Diddy's ex-girlfriend of 11 years. Legal experts have even claimed that Cassie is the government's star witness and the reason why Diddy was even put under investigation in the first place. In fact, the entire case against Diddy might rest on her testimony. That's why we're doing a full-fledged breakdown on everything that Cassie revealed about Diddy on the stand. What accusations did Cassie make of Diddy's notorious freak-off parties? How did her shocking testimony lead Kid Cudi to calling Diddy a Marvel supervillain? And how did the jury react when they were shown extremely disturbing images allegedly taken by Diddy himself? We've even enlisted veteran criminal defense attorney Alfred Spielman to analyze Diddy's lawyer's cross-examination strategy of Cassie. Did Diddy's dream team of high-powered attorneys really destroy Cassie's credibility on the stand? And what's the story behind the shocking audio of Cassie threatening to kill one of 50 Cent's closest associates? And finally, we're gonna try to answer the most important question of all: is Diddy actually winning this case? Or will Cassie's gut-wrenching testimony be enough to put him away for the rest of his life?
I'm going to take your souls. We have the power. We decide what's hot. If we don't go, nobody goes.
Before Cassie Ventura even showed up in court, there was tons of legal drama over how she'd be allowed to give her testimony. Diddy's lawyers fought tooth and nail to keep Cassie's husband, Alex Fine, from being in the courtroom. While Alex Fine was expected to be there to lend his wife support, Diddy's legal team tried at the last minute to bar him, arguing that Fine might be called later as a witness. Judge Arun Submarinian denied the request and scolded Diddy's lawyers that they needed to give more notice before they tried to make last-minute applications. But Diddy's lawyers still had more tricks under their sleeve. They expressed concern that the jury would be more sympathetic towards Cassie since she's 8.5 weeks pregnant. So Mark Agnifilio, the lead lawyer on Diddy's team, tried to convince the judge that Cassie should already be seated on the stand so that she didn't walk in front of the jurors, saying, quote, "Pregnancy is beautiful and wonderful. It's also a source of potential sympathy." News outlets called Agnifilio's request astonishing and bizarre, and the judge once again denied the application. Yeah, that's weird as hell. I guess I get it, but that's just weird. But while Diddy's lawyers didn't get their way this time, it goes to show that his attorneys are trying everything possible to get the jury to sympathize with Diddy instead of Cassie. But when Cassie Ventura finally took the stand on May 13th, her testimony shook the entire court.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Cassie described her history with Sean Diddy Combs in painstaking detail, going back to the very start of their relationship. She also talked about how she signed a record deal with Diddy's label Bad Boy Records when she was just 19 years old. Cassie explained that she looked up to Diddy in a totally platonic way as a boss and a mentor, and that she viewed him as a larger-than-life business mogul. But all that changed on her 21st birthday party in Las Vegas when she said that Diddy unexpectedly kissed her in a bathroom. Why are they in the bathroom together? Whatever. Cassie testified that she cried and ran away from Diddy, saying that she was a really confused, young new artist who felt overwhelmed. Eventually, though, Cassie says that she became one of Diddy's many girlfriends. And while Cassie said that she knew Diddy had other partners, she assumed that they had a special connection. But after just a year together, Cassie says her relationship with Diddy took a dark turn. Quote, within the first year of our relationship, he proposed the idea, this sexual encounter that he called voyeurism, where he would watch me be in intercourse with a third party, specifically with another man. Cassie even said that her stomach dropped when Diddy first brought up this idea. Quote, I knew it was something I didn't want to be doing, especially as regularly as it became, but again, I was just in love and wanted to make him happy. Cassie testified that these encounters were Diddy's so-called freak-offs. She says that Diddy would provide her with money to hire male escorts, but that she was responsible for hiring them off websites like Craigslist and Backpage. That's crazy. Cassie also clarified that Diddy had strict physical requirements of these escorts and that he had to approve photos of each one before a freak-off.
Yeah, I guess gotta keep the quality high.
During her testimony, Cassie stressed that she didn't want to participate in the freak-offs and that she gently tried to suggest to Diddy that she wanted to stop. Quote, I felt disgusting, I was humiliated, I didn't have the words to put together at the time how horrible I really felt, and I couldn't talk to anyone about it. Cassie says that the freak-offs became her full-time job. Diddy would expect her to put all her time into organizing these sexual encounters, and that they would last so long that it would take days to recover. These freak-offs would allegedly last anywhere from 24 to 36 to even 72 hours, and it took days to recover from the dehydration. Quote, the freak-offs became a job where there was no space to do anything else but recover just to try to feel normal again. Cassie also says that she relied on drugs given to her by Diddy to disassociate from the freak-offs. She described how Diddy expected her to participate in freak-offs even if she was on her period, and that he often coated entire hotel suites in heated baby oil while directing these encounters. And despite recording hundreds of songs for her label contract, Cassie's music didn't see the light of day. She alleged that Diddy prevented her from releasing music to trap her in a 10-album Bad Boy record deal and keep her under his control. Cassie says that this didn't just hurt her finances, but it also made her extremely reliant on Diddy. And Cassie,
time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Claims that Diddy uses reliance to completely control every minute of her day.
To me, this whole case boils down to an issue of consent. As far as I know, I don't know all the evidence, but it's an issue of consent, right? Did they consent or did they not?
Cassie testified that Diddy had unpredictable mood swings and that he would order his staff to punish her by taking away her car or electronics. Quote, I would get my car taken away. I got kicked out of the house, my apartment. I had my jewelry taken away. Cassie also described Diddy's alleged violence towards her in excruciating detail. She testified that he would later smack me in my head, knock me over, drag me, kick me, stomp me in the head if I was down. In fact, one of the most essential pieces of evidence that the prosecutors presented against Diddy was a notorious 2016 surveillance video from a Los Angeles hotel. In the video, Diddy attacks Cassie in a hallway, throwing her to the ground and striking her multiple times. Cassie gave crucial context about what happened leading to that altercation. In her testimony, Cassie clarified that she was trying to leave a freak-off when Diddy followed her into the hallway and assaulted her. Cassie even testified that in the video footage, Diddy seemed to be trying to drag her back to the hotel room, almost as if he was trying to drag her back to the freak-off. Cassie even discussed an incident where Diddy allegedly lunged at her with a wine opener in the middle of another freak-off when he found out that she was secretly dating Kid Cudi. Cassie says she escaped
escaped the freak off and called Cuddy in the middle of the night to come pick her up and take her to a safe place. She even said she witnessed incidents where Diddy physically abused other people, including a friend of hers who Diddy allegedly dangled over a balcony. She even described trying to make peace with Diddy after the relationship ended, only for him to sexually assault her in her own home. Cassie's testimony also included harrowing details of the painful aftershocks of the freak-offs. She admitted that she battled an opioid addiction and stomach issues because of the near-constant reliance on drugs. She said that she suffered from infections and sores because of the marathon freak-off sessions, and that she was constantly paranoid that Diddy's videos of the freak-offs would be leaked. In fact, Cassie even spoke about how Diddy would regularly threaten to release freak-off videos of her, and that she was terrified that he would make good on his threats. During Cassie's testimony, the jury was also shown graphic photos that Cassie said depicted her at various stages of the freak-offs. Privacy screens were brought out so no one else in the courtroom could see these images, but those in the courtroom could clearly see that the photos shocked and horrified the jury. One juror's eyes widened, while another shook their head side to side. The jury was also shown numerous photos of Cassie's black eyes, fat lip, a gash on her forehead, and other bruising on her body. It seems like Cassie's testimony had a massive effect on jurors. Courtroom reporters said that while the jury sometimes seemed disengaged from other witnesses, they were extremely focused during Cassie's time on the stand. During cross-examination, Team Diddy focused on trying to dispute the government's case against their client.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small really throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Fruit ruins insulin sensitivity.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Remember that Diddy's being charged with racketeering and trafficking. Diddy's lawyer's strategy here is to make the jury believe that Diddy's freak-offs were purely consensual and that they weren't forced on anybody. Mark Agnifilio, Diddy's lead lawyer, previewed this strategy before the trial by insisting that Diddy was a swinger and that the freak-offs were a lifestyle choice and not a criminal operation. Anna Estiavo, another Team Diddy attorney, led the defense's 2 days cross-examination of Cassie. While some trial lawyers aggressively questioned witnesses, Estiavo had a completely different method. In fact, she even tried to seem kind towards Cassie. One of the reasons behind this tactic is that it keeps the jury from feeling bad for Cassie, since she'd seem like more of a victim if Diddy's lawyers all ganged up on her.
A jury is sympathetic to a person who comes in and says something bad happened to them.
They've already told their side of the story. They've got the jury on their side.
So the last thing I want is for the jury to get mad at me, or worse, through me, get mad at my client. I want to be sympathetic. And again, it is uncontroverted that these injuries occurred. My defense is not that you're lying or you're a bad person. It's that he didn't do it.
But it was also a strategy to get Cassie to contradict herself on the stand.
If I'm cross-examining a witness, I want to get responses. And I've got tactics. And they don't always know what my tactic is. So I don't want them to give one-word clipped answers. I want them to talk themselves into a corner, in fact. I've even used this technique where I've asked a question, the client's talked, and I just remain silent and look at them. And they keep talking and talking.
Estiavo quizzed Cassie on years worth of text messages. She even grilled Cassie about if she hated Diddy, which Cassie denied, saying, "I have love for the past and what it was." Crazy. Estiavo also tried to imply that Cassie's accusations against Diddy were for financial gain. To recap, Cassie filed a lawsuit against Diddy in November of 2023 when she accused him of sexual trafficking her. Cassie confirmed on the stand that she received a $20 million settlement from Diddy and that she was due to receive another $10 million from the Intercontinental Hotel in Los Angeles for allegedly covering up Diddy's attack on her in 2016. When Estiavo tried to ask Cassie if she'd give that money back in exchange for never having to participate in Diddy's freak-offs, Cassie got visibly emotional on the stand, bursting into tears. Quote, "I'd give that money back if I never had to have freak-offs. If I never had to have freak-offs, I would have had agency and autonomy, and I wouldn't have had to work so hard to get it back." But one extremely revealing part of Team Diddy's cross-examination was an audio recording where Cassie could be heard threatening to unalive one of 50 Cent's closest associates. According to Cassie's testimony, DJ Who Kid, the longtime official DJ of 50 Cent's group G-Unit, told her in 2014 that he had seen explicit footage of her. Cassie panicked and contacted Diddy, who she was still dating at the time, for help. In an audio recording from the incident, Cassie could be heard threatening DJ Who Kid's life, telling him, quote, "I'm going to kill you, and then he's going to kill you again." By focusing on this audio snippet, Team Diddy is trying to convince the jury that Cassie was actually a consenting part of Diddy's freak-offs rather than a quote-unquote victim. In fact, Team Diddy used their cross-examination to paint Cassie as equally aggressive to Diddy. Estiavo focused on incidents where Cassie admitted to punching or fighting with Diddy, almost as if they were trying to say that Diddy's alleged violent outbursts were justifiable.
One reason why they're bringing out the fact that allegedly both of these parties were hitting on each other could be a self-defense defense. A more realistic and humanistic interpretation of why they would bring this out is simply to show that their client, Combs, is not necessarily the aggressor. He's not necessarily the only person who's doing this, but that rather this couple had a relationship that had a culture of violence. And it was not the way that the prosecution is painting it.
Diddy's lawyers are trying to get the jury to doubt the government's claim that Cassie was a victim to Diddy. But in order to back up their case, prosecutors brought in an army of witnesses, and many of them backed up Cassie's testimony.
This is not the age or the era of being silent. That has been the problem in all of these industries for decades, for years. It is literally institutional silence that has been the staple of the music industry. This is the Me Too movement of the music industry. Silence is loyalty, and that's what the currency is.
Dawn Richards, who was once part of the Bad Boy Records girl group Danity Kane, was called to the stand on day 6 of the trial, and she gave blistering testimony that she frequently saw Diddy act violent towards Cassie. Quote, "He would punch her, choke her, drag her, slap her in the mouth. I saw him kick her, punch her in the stomach." Dawn even alleged that it was impossible to predict when Diddy would attack Cassie and that he would go berserk without any warning. She even alleged that Diddy punched Cassie in the stomach while at a restaurant in full view of other industry heavyweights like Usher and Jimmy Iovine, the billionaire co-founder of Interscope Records. And according to Dawn, all these people saw Cassie get beat up and did absolutely nothing. Cassie's own mother, Regina Ventura, was also called as a witness. In her testimony, she described the 2011 incident where Diddy was allegedly threatening to release explicit sex tapes of her daughter. Regina said that she was physically sick over the threats and that Diddy wanted her to send over a $20,000 wire transfer as payback for Cassie being with Kid Cudi. Ventura says that he and her husband took out a home equity loan to get the money and wired the payment to an account associated with Diddy's label, Bad Boy Records. While Ventura testified that the money was later returned to her, her testimony that Diddy used a Bad Boy account to allegedly blackmail her daughter could be key evidence backing up the government's racketeering case. And if you've been following these videos, you know that I've been saying for months that Kid Cudi would play a huge role in the Diddy case. And on May 22nd, that's exactly what happened when Cudi was called in as a key witness for the prosecution. During his jaw-dropping testimony, Kid Cudi said that Diddy found out that he was dating Cassie and then sought revenge. Cudi testified that in December of 2011, he received a call from one of Diddy's assistants that Diddy was inside his house. Cudi raced home and called Diddy on the phone saying, "Mother, are you in my house?" Cudi says Diddy responded calmly, quote, "I'm over here waiting for you." That is beyond psychotic. But when Cuddy arrived home, Diddy had apparently fled the scene. Instead, Cuddy found out that all the Christmas presents in his house were unwrapped. And honestly, that's pretty weird. I mean, maybe Diddy was just on some Grinch shit that day. I don't know. But Cuddy also says that Diddy had messed with his dogs, who were traumatized from that point on. Cuddy testified that from that point on, his dog was very jittery, kind of like on edge all the time. Cuddy also testified that his Porsche was set on fire by a Molotov cocktail just weeks later. The day after the firebombing, Cuddy arranged a meeting with Diddy and Cassie at Soho House in Los Angeles. When he walked into the conference room, Cuddy testified that Sean Combs was standing there with his hands behind his back like a Marvel supervillain. Cuddy says that Diddy was calm and gracious during their meeting, but that Diddy said Cassie was his girl while Cuddy thought they had split. But when Cuddy confronted Diddy about blowing up his car, Diddy said, quote, "I don't know what you're talking about." Cuddy claimed that he believed Diddy was lying and that he feared for his safety, telling the prosecutor, quote, "I knew Sean Combs was violent." But Diddy's lawyers managed to stir up some serious doubt when it came to Kid Cuddy's side of the story.
And that the DNA that was collected on his car came back to a female.
Brian Steele, the very same lawyer who defended Young Thug in his landmark RICO case, stepped up to cross-examine Cuddy. And Steele might have made a huge impact on the way the jury perceives not only Cuddy's story, but also Cassie Ventura. During cross-examination, Steele got Cuddy to admit that there wasn't any concrete evidence linking Diddy to his Porsche being firebombed, even though Cassie previously testified that Diddy threatened to blow up Cuddy's car. But most importantly, Brian Steele asked Kid Cuddy if Cassie had played him by making him feel like she was single and unattached when she was really technically still with Diddy. And Cuddy agreed with him. Quote, "The person who played you, the person who played Sean was Miss Ventura. True? Yeah." And as mentioned before, this is a huge part of Team Diddy's defense strategy. While the feds are accusing Diddy of being a trafficker in charge of a major criminal organization, Diddy's lawyers are basically trying to say that Diddy only acted out of jealousy. And while Kid Cudi says she broke up with Cassie out of concerns for their safety, Diddy's lawyers want the jury to believe that the whole situation was just a love triangle gone wrong. In fact, Diddy's lawyers already admitted that their client did commit domestic violence while stressing to the jury that he hasn't been actually charged with physical assault. The biggest part of the government's case against Diddy involves racketeering conspiracy. The feds are claiming Diddy's alleged abuse of victims like Cassie Ventura or his threats against Kid Cudi were part of a racketeering scheme. But Team Diddy is doing everything they can to blur the lines and claim that Cassie and the male prostitutes Diddy allegedly paid for did everything consensually. These kind of nuances might be the difference between Diddy going to jail for the rest of his life or being found not guilty. Basically, what I'm saying is the stakes are super high, and Diddy's attorneys are doing everything they can to destroy the credibility of witnesses like Cassie Ventura and make her seem complicit in Diddy's freak-offs. Despite all the evidence against Diddy, he still seems to be coming out ahead. Is Sean Combs really about to beat the feds and convince the jury that he's not guilty? And to be honest, at this point, it seems like a real possibility. But only time will tell, so definitely stay locked in because we're going to cover every single detail as the Diddy trial continues.